It says Romans in 1. It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as their God. That's what I'm talking about this morning. They knew God, but they glorified him not as God. I'm capable to pray and him still not be my God. I'm capable to fast and him still not be my God. But in order for there to be worship, he has to be my God. In order for there to be worship, I've got to put everything on him and say, God, you are my King. You are my Lord. You are my God. You are my everything. There's something about it that we've got to understand, that they knew that he was God and they glorified him not as God. Neither were they thankful. Why do we praise? Because we're thankful for who he is. They were not thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man, and to birds, and to the four-footed beast, and to the creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own flesh, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Psalms 8 and 29 says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed into the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? There's some people in this room that you could just worship about that. He is for us. He is for me. He is for us. I'm going to preach for just a few moments this morning on your pressure will not change my praise. Lord, we love you right now, God, that your spirit would move and flow in this place today, oh God. Lord, that there would be a prophetic word that would go forth into this house. Lord, that you would take us from where we are into a new dimension, into a new level. Lord, that you would challenge us, oh God, in our worship and in our praise. Lord, that we would be conformed into your image, oh God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. You may be seated this morning. James McAneer wrote a book called The Source, and in this book, he writes of a man by the name of Arubabel. Arubabel lived in an Indian area where they still did live sacrifices of human beings. He was a farmer, and times had gotten a little tough in his life, and the priest came to him one day as they were making their way into the temple, and he asked him if he would be willing to sacrifice his son for things to change for him financially. Arubabel went home and he told his wife what they were going to do. They gathered their son up, and him and a couple of other farmers made their way into the temple. As they made their way there, they took their sons, they bound them, and each one of their sons were burned at the stake as a sacrifice unto the God of death, believing that because of this, that it would bring something back to them as far as their fields and their crops would go. After it was over, the priest stood there and he looked down at these men that had just given their sons as a sacrifice. And he told them, because of your faithfulness, you are going to be blessed by the fertility God. And he told them that they were going to be able to spend that week in the temple with the ladies of the temple. Arubabel's wife turned and looked, and she saw as Arubabel sat there, and there was a change on his face. There was something that he was happy about this. His son had just been burned at the stake, but there was something about him that he was happy about what the priest just said in his life. The quote that was mentioned by her as she was leaving the temple, she made this statement, if my husband served a different God, I would be married to a different man. Because it's all about what we worship. We're going to worship something, and we have to be careful, because what we worship, we will become. We have to understand that what I worship, I will become. You can say, well, I really enjoy hunting, but I'm not going to become a professional hunter. Or I look at things that I shouldn't look at on the internet, but I'll never allow myself to act or do anything. See, you've got to understand that where your worship is, where your eyes are, the direction that you've been postured, you've got to understand that even though you may not ever act on it, it's who you are. It's what's in your mind. It's what keeps flushing its way back through your brain. It's what you think about. It's what you're consumed with. We've got to understand that what we worship is what we will become. People, we have to understand that it can either be a ruin or a restoration. It can be something that we can make up our minds that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. We can make up our minds that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We've got to understand that praise determines my posture. It determines the position in which I am going. I've watched people that could pray, but their praise was off. I've watched people that could fast for days, but their praise was off. See, you've got to understand that praise is important. You've got to understand that worship is important. Before we are anything else, we are worshipers. Before I am a husband, I am a worshiper to an almighty, awesome God, because it's about our relationship with Him. Our worship is predicated upon our revelation of who He is. And if He's not that great, then our worship is not that great. I'm not talking about being able to do something demonstrative. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about finding that place inside of you. God, I love you. God, I want to be close to you. Let's just do a little a test on this right now. How many times do you think about God throughout the week? Let's think about this. Let's say your mind takes a detour and you're on the job and something happens and you become angry or so. But when it's all said and done, your mind circles back around to God. You find yourself driving home that afternoon. God, forgive me for my attitude this day. God, forgive me for the things that I did. God, forgive me for what had happened. When you pull into your house, there's a thought of God. Thank you for this house that you've given me. Thank you for this vehicle that I own. Thank you, God, that I have another day to get up and breathe a breath. How often does God come through our mindset? How often does He cross our paths in our mind that we recognize that I'm not talking about just sitting there all day long, just worshiping and praising and dancing on the job, but sitting there working on a pipe and something crossed your mind and it's a God thought. It's just how good God is. It's something that happened this past week. It's how thankful you are to God for your children and their health. It's how thankful you are to God for the person that you're married to and what God has done in your life. Just something that crosses through your psyche that says, hey, He's God. And He's a part of my life. It's Romans 12:1. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Here we go. Where is my mind? What is my mind focused on? What is it that I keep bringing it back to? That's why worship is so important, because when I worship Him, even if it's just as simple as, God, I love you, you're my everything, I'm taking that focus and I'm recalibrating. I'm bringing it back to center. I'm finding a time in my day to bring it back to that place where I remind Him, God, I know who You are. I know who You are in my life, that ye may prove what is the good and the acceptable and perfect will of God. If you read that same scripture in the ESV, it says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. that when I submit myself to him, that when I leave this place today, I can rip and buck and snort all I want around here. But when I walk out those doors, how's my worship? When I step on the job tomorrow, how's my worship? When I walk into the house tomorrow afternoon, how's my worship? See, we've got to understand, it doesn't matter how awesome God is, it's what we believe and what we set our minds on. Sometime this week, Jace and Jackson are going to find their Nerf guns, and I'm going to get shot. And for whatever reason, Jace is not satisfied with the little Nerf guns. I bought him one last night at the Walgreens. It's a one shooter. You just pull it back, and hopefully he's strong enough to do it. He doesn't want the ones that he possibly could shoot. He wants the biggest one we have in the house. He loads it up, and he just drags it around with him wherever he's going. He can't even defend himself, but he's got the biggest gun in the whole place. He can't even cock it. I have to cock it. And then he can't even shoot it. You don't even have to close your eyes because he's trying to hold that thing up. And it's just wobbling in the wind. And finally, he'll let it go. And he'll shoot somewhere up off into the ceiling. But he believes he's Rambo. He's got it all figured out. And that's all. He can be shot 100 times. But he's still got the biggest gun in the house. And it doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. See, it's not about what you've got, it's what you believe, it's where your mind is. See, you've got to understand that it can't be on things that aren't doing you any good. You've got to wrap it around something that keeps setting you straight. It's got to be wrapped around something that is true. It's got to be wrapped around something that says, God, you are my everything. I can't get wrapped up on all of this other stuff. I can't live in some kind of a fantasy dream world. Keep my mind on things that are not of God. I've got to keep coming back to that place. Well, Brother Pugh, I can't just think about God all the time. I've got important things to do at work. That's fine. Do important things at work. Do them for God. Tell him thank you for the job that I have today. Thank you, God, that I'm going to be able to feed my family today. Take moments in time to let him know that he is your God. It's Colossians 3 and 10. And they have, it says, and have put on a new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. What is the image of the thing that you worship? Does it involve a deer stand? Does it involve a phone or a Facebook account? Does it involve entertainment? Does it involve a computer screen? Does it involve a bank account? Does it involve your health? Does it involve some kind of fun that you can have in your life? What is the image of what you worship here today? It's 2 Corinthians 3 and 18, but we all, with open faces, beholding in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. See, we've got to understand that we're going to be changed, and I'm either going to be changed into His image, or I'm going to be changed into the image of whatever I worship. I'm going to be changed into the image of an almighty, awesome God, no matter how fast or slow it might be in your pace, or I'm going to be changed into that thing that controls and captivates my mind that I worship on a daily basis without even knowing that we do. Wherever my mind goes, pray it comes back to Jesus. Wherever your thought patterns go, pray that they come back to Him. If you get angry, pray that when it's over, it comes back to Him. If it's something that takes you to a place that you know you shouldn't be, pray that when you fight your way out of it, that it circles its way back to where He is. Pray that the thought of Him on a cross is something that crosses our mind. It was in Milan, Italy. The circus was coming through town in a parade, getting everybody ready for the big circus downtown. And as they made their way marching through the city, one of the churches there had the doors wide open, and an elephant saw these huge doors, and he turned from the parade and he marched his way into that church. He marched his way halfway down, stomped his feet, slung his trunk around, wagged his head, made a lot of noise, and then turned around and marched his way right back out of the church. A news anchor walked into the church directly after the elephant had walked out with his video camera, and he asked the pastor, he said, "Was that unusual?" He said, without missing a beat, he said, "No," he says, "it happens every Sunday. I have people that lumber their way in, they make some noise, and they shake their head, and they turn around, and they go right back out to the parade they came from." We've got to understand that we can't come in and just do that. We can't leave and go back to the same parade we came from. We've got to understand. We've got to be a part of his parade. We've got to be on a march. There's got to be something that is moving. There's got to be something that is changing. There's got to be a part of us that has made up our mind that I'm going to be connected to what it is that God wants to do in my life. I've got to be connected to this hallelujah factor. I've got to be connected to what it is that God desires to do in my life. I've got a picture in my office in the back corner. It was in my grandfather's office. It's not pretty, it's ugly. The frame on it is not pretty, it's ugly. But it makes this statement: if a man does not keep pace with his companions, perhaps it's because he hears a different drummer. Let him step to the music which he hears, however measured or far away it is. We've got to understand that what we march to cannot be the beat to the world or what everybody else wants to do. It's got to be to the beat of what God wants to do in our lives. We've constantly got to be listening for his beat, for his cadence, for his word. God, I want to be in sequence with your words, with worship, oh God. I want to line myself up with you. I want to hear where you're at, God. I want to realign what's going on in my world to be aligned with you. You see, our problem is usually we don't praise until we've just come out of the season, or possibly we're in the middle of a season, we might get some energy to praise. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego lived worship. They were taken from Jerusalem and taken to Babylon, and they, here they were and left. They were abandoned. They were by themselves. But as they came around and told them, this is what you'll eat and this is what you'll do, there was something inside of them that said, my worship says I cannot do this. The life that I live, the worship that I give, says that I cannot do this. There was something inside of them that their worship wasn't just a church service. It was a lifestyle. Their worship just wasn't something they did on a Sunday morning when we all get together and the music gets just right. It was something they did when they were out there all by themselves. When you go home tonight, how you live is worship. When you shut that door and you're all by yourself and nobody else sees you, how you live is worship. What you look at on your Facebook page and what you don't look at is worship. How you act when nobody else knows what's going on in your mind, his worship. See, we've got to understand that worship is more than just an action. It's a lifestyle. It's a way that we live. It's got to be something that we do every day of our lives. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could stand there when they said, make the furnace 7 times hotter. Why? Because it wasn't about the furnace. It was about worship. You can play the instruments all you want. You can make it look like a worship service all you want, they said. You can get the harps out, but we know who we worship, and we're not going to bow down to that. You can say whatever you want to say, and in fact, we might die today. Our next step might be on streets of gold, but nevertheless, we're still going to worship our God. Today might not be my best day, but I'm still going to worship. Today things might be turned upside down, but I'm still going to be a worshiper. Today I might be in a dark season of my life, but I'm still going to be a worshiper. Why could Daniel stand in the lion's den? Why could Daniel go back and pray even though he knew the consequences and why they were doing it? We could hear the voices outside cheering when they heard him pray. The people that were looking into the window, making sure they had the vantage point to get the evidence to prove that Daniel had worshiped another God, because it wasn't about a decree. It wasn't about a government. It wasn't about what everybody else wanted. It was about his worship to an almighty, awesome God. See, you've got to understand, if you will worship before you go into the season, you can worship on your way out of the season. But some of us, we don't worship till we're in the midst of it, and we can't get enough strength. I've watched people backslide. Why? Not because of their prayer life, not because of their faithfulness, but because when they stepped into that season of life, they did not worship. They were not a worshiper. There wasn't anything inside of them that could get a hold and recalibrate where they were supposed to be going. And they backslid, not because of prayer, not because of faithfulness, but because of their lack of being able to recalibrate where he is. Lord God, I might be in the midst of a trial, but you're still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I might be going through a dark place, but you're still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I might be in a struggle, but you're still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Threw him into the fiery furnace. And what did the king say? Did we not put three in there? But I see four. And one looks like the Son of God. See, you've got to understand that when I worship my way in, I can rest assured that he will never leave me nor forsake me. I might walk into the fiery pit, but I can rest assured that he'll be with me every step of the way. Daniel, what's going on? My God, shut the lion's mouths. What are you saying? I was worshiping before I ever got into this place. I was celebrating him before I ever made it here. I was living this lifestyle before I ever stepped into this dark place in my life. King Nebuchadnezzar, your pressure will not change my praise. There's some people in this room, you need to let the devil know the pressure that you've applied to my life is not going to change my praise. There's some people in this room that maybe that pressure has affected your praise. Maybe that pressure has got you like Paul and Silas, bound in the bottom of a dungeon, and it feels like everything around you is over. It feels like your mind has been taken from you. It feels like that you're going to make this mistake no matter what. It feels like the situation that has engulfed you has got you at a place where it doesn't matter what happens. You've gone too far down this road to come back now, but there's something about it. I'm here to tell you in the Holy Ghost this morning, God said, if you can begin to say, wait one moment, I might be bound. I might be in the bottom of a dungeon. I may not even own my own mind right now. I might be lost in my thoughts. I might be stuck on something that I should not be stuck on. My brain might be in a place that it should not be even on a Sunday morning, but there's got to be something inside that begins to say, God, I've got to recalibrate. God, I've got to shake some things. God, there's got to be something inside that. We wait too late before we praise. We wait till the service gets just hot enough. We wait till everything gets just right. We wait till that song, when the Spirit of the Lord moves upon my heart, I will dance like David danced. That's a good, fun song, but that's a bunch of junk. There are going to be days that you're not going to ever feel God's Spirit move on your heart because of where you're at. We don't praise because of where we are. We praise because of who he is. We don't praise just because his Spirit moved upon me. We praise because of who he is. See, when we can begin to get to that mindset, I can't wait till I get to that place. I can't wait till I feel him, because emotions will lead us wrong. But I praise him because because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I praise him because he's long-suffering to me. I praise him because I have health. I praise him because I have breath. I praise him because he's here. I praise him because he loves me when I'm unlovable. I praise him because he's deserving of everything that I can give him. Come to church because I know it's right. I pray because I need something. I fast because it's got to be something that changes. Maybe I can convince God. I tithe because I know that I'm going to be blessed because of when I give to God. I do all of these things, but we've got to understand that first and foremost, we're worshipers. Before I ever walk through that door, I'm a worshiper. Before I ever sit down in my pew, I'm a worshiper. Before that first song ever sings, I'm a worshiper. Before the offering plate ever makes it around, I'm a worshiper. Before they ever decide that there's going to be a service, I've got to be a worshiper. Last night I was in here praying. Oh, and it was heavy. There was something heavy going on. And I was praying and I was talking and I was travailing for some folks, and God was bringing names to my mind. And you've got to understand, there's some things that are going on in your world. Oh, you've been praying. You've been pushing. But God wants you to understand somewhere along the way, quit worrying about it and start praising. Somewhere along the way, quit worrying about all the stuff that's going on and go back to your first love. Go back to that place. If you've got to cut 10 minutes into your prayer time, if you've got to take 5 minutes out of your Bible reading, God, I love you. If it's just sitting in your chair on a Monday morning with a cup of coffee, God, you are worthy. God, you are awesome in my life. God, you are great. God, you are my everything. Oh, Jesus. It's not a struggle because you don't love him. It's not a struggle because you're not faithful to him. It's a struggle because even in your love and your faithfulness, your worship is just a little bit off. Somewhere along the way, you've got to understand that worship and praise is one of the most important things that you can do in your relationship with God. Somewhere along the way, you've got to remind yourself that he is king. And I am not. Somewhere along the way, you've got to remind God, you are my everything. You are my king. You are my Lord. And you are my God. Because I'm going to be created in one of two images. I'm either going to be created in what I worship, or I'm going to be created in his image. So somewhere along the way, I've got to make up my mind that above all else, I am a worshiper. Paul, Silas, what are you doing? I'm worshiping. Paul, Silas, what's going on? I don't fully understand what's going on in my life, but there is one thing that I do know. It doesn't matter if I'm preaching in the biggest conference that's going on or if I'm in the bottom of a pit chained to a wall. One thing does not change, that we are still worshipers. We've got to understand that we are not exempt, regardless of personality type, regardless of who we are. We all are worshipers. We've got to understand that it doesn't matter if culture changes. It doesn't matter if time restraints change. It doesn't matter that we're trying to get in and out within an hour and 15 minutes. And we're trying to make sure that people's, their attention span is, we're working within the confines of it and trying to reach people and be able to connect. All of those things that we can try to do to reach our community doesn't matter. Everything that we do outside these walls, if we are not a worshiping church, there's got to be something inside of us that our mind is made up every time that we walk in this room, that today we are going to have a move of God. It doesn't matter how I feel today, I'm going to have a move of God. It doesn't matter how I slept last night, I'm going to have a move of God. It doesn't matter how hard work was this week, I'm going to have a move of God. It doesn't matter the situation that's going on in my family today, I've got to have a move of God in my life. There has to be a constant, never-ending move of God's Spirit among us. It has to be the key factor. It has to be a part of the equation. It has to be that thing that they sing about today, that hallelujah. Oh, Brother Pugh, I don't even know if I know how to praise. Just start with hallelujah. Oh, Brother Pugh, I'm not sure I even know where to start or what to do. It's a little weird. It's kind of out of my realm of comfort. You don't have just hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can stand at your pew and say hallelujah. You can lift one hand and just say hallelujah. God, I want you to know that you are praised. I want you to know that you are worthy. I want you to know that you are my everything. It's Psalms 106 and 1. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. What's he saying? Hallelujah. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. It's Psalms 111. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great. What is he saying? Hallelujah. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. It's Psalms 112. I will praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord and delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth, and the generation of the upright shall be blessed. Those first three, four words that he says there, praise ye the Lord, is interpreted hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Psalms 113, praise ye the Lord, hallelujah. O servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord for this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Psalms 135, praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise him, O ye servants of the Lord. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord and in the courts of his house of our God, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. For the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. Psalms 146, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, O my soul, while I live, while I praise the Lord, while I sing praises unto my God, while I have any being. When am I supposed to praise while I've got being? When am I supposed to lift him up while I've got breath? When am I a worshiper? When my heart beats and I've got life. Why? Because when there's worship, anything can happen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My family's in turmoil. Hallelujah. The doctor said that my strength is gone. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm living in pain. Hallelujah. Brother Pugh, that doesn't make sense. That's the whole point. It doesn't make sense because it's not about you. It's all about him. The things in my family are all a mess. Hallelujah. God, I praise you. God, I lift you up. God, I magnify you. God, I glorify you. God, I worship you. Hallelujah. Whatever you're going through, you can make it through praise. Whatever the situation that's going on, you can make it through praise. Whatever you're chained to this morning, whatever it is that feels like it has you bound, you can get through it with praise. But you've got to make up your mind, devil. It's not about how I feel today. It's not about the pressure that you've applied on my life, because your pressure isn't going to predict my praise. I'm going to praise him whether I feel like it or not. I'm going to love him whether I feel like he knows where I am or not. I'm going to lift him up whether the pressures of life are as strong as they've ever been, because your pressure will not affect my praise. Lord Jesus, we come to you right now as we all stand all over this place. Lord, the enemy wants to bind us. The enemy wants to apply pressure on our life. The enemy wants to single us out in the crowd and say, look what everybody else is doing. They're all bowing down. But God, that we would make up our minds this morning as a body, oh God, as a collective body, that God, it doesn't matter what anybody else does, we'll stand. It doesn't matter what anybody else says, we'll worship. It doesn't matter what else goes on, oh God, we're going to be worshipers. Because if I worship my way in, I can worship my way out. Don't wait until the storm to become a worshiper. Worship before the storm ever shows up. Don't wait until you're on your last leg and you need a miracle for something to happen. Worship him before you ever get to that place. Don't be like the disciples in the boat that tried everything else before they came and found the creator of it all and said, hey, we need you. He already knew where they were. He wasn't oblivious to the problems that were going on. God, there's a storm brewing. I see it in the distance. I want you to know I still know that you're God. I'm going to worship you in spite of it. God, I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. I'm going to worship you. I don't know what the doctor's going to say. I'm going to worship you. I don't know how the tests are going to turn out. I'm going to worship you. I don't know what my future holds. I'm going to worship you. I don't know where my children are this morning. God, I'm going to worship you. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, they walked in praising, and they walked out praising. Daniel walked in with worship, and he walked out worshiping. Paul and Silas walked in worshiping, and while they were there, they worshiped, and they walked out. Worship it. There is something powerful about your worship. And the enemy wants to do everything that he can to take that out of your mouth, to take that out of your spirit, to take that out of your mind, because he knows the minute that you begin to worship, the atmosphere begins to change. There's somebody in this room that you've been bound. There's something that's been going on in your life. It's been going on for over a year now. It's got you exactly where it wants you. And for whatever reason, you're beginning to feel like, even though you still love God, even though you still show up, even though there's something about it that's trying to drag you into that place, and you almost feel helpless. But God wants you to know in this place this morning, you've still got the key to get out of it. You've still got the ability to say, no, you're my God and you're my everything. You've still got the ability to shake it off. You've still got the ability to get out. But it's going to be up to you to make up your mind. I'm coming out of this place. How am I going to come out? What am I going to do, Brother Pugh? How am I going to You start with worship. You start with worship. You start with worship. God, I've got to get your attention. Oh, God, here I am. I want you to know that you're my everything. I want you to know that you're awesome. I want you to know that you're great. I want you to know that I love you. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
Father, I see the
oh, hallelujah. I'm bound this morning. Hallelujah. I'm weak this morning. Hallelujah. I'm sick this morning. Hallelujah. My mind is confused this morning. Hallelujah.
Living me, this is my prayer.
Hallelujah. These altars are open this morning as we begin to gather as a church family.
Father, I see that you
if you're in this place this morning and there's something, there's a cloud, there's a haze, there's a struggle, there's
standing on your side.
Oh, hallelujah.
Holding your hand.
Oh, if there's something that's got a hold of you that's saying, no, this is the way that your expected end is going to be, say you're a liar.
This is hallelujah. My prayer.
Coming back to God, saying you're a liar. Hallelujah. You're never going to preach again, saying you're a liar. Hallelujah. You're never going to be able to do what God's called you to do, saying you're a liar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I'm
hallelujah.